Walk down the canyon of office towers that is Wall Street, and if you look for them, you'll see some of the 38 historical markers that are scattered around Lower Manhattan, most of them celebrating achievements in fields like finance and skyscraper building. But WNYC's Jim O'Grady reports a new marker will soon raise a darker subject: how for centuries New York City was built on the backs of slaves.
So this is Wall Street. There used to be actually a wall here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was built by African Americans.
Oh, wow. We're very strong people.
I believe that's historically accurate.
Yes, most definitely.
Rene Lopez is a native New Yorker and one of several I spoke to at the corner of Wall Street and Pearl Street, which today is several blocks inland, but in the 1700s it was the East River waterfront, where ocean-going ships unloaded their goods. And Lopez, like everyone I asked, was hazy on the history of slavery in the city. And she had no idea she was standing on what used to be a slave market.
Very surprising, very.
The New York City slave market was a wooden structure with a roof and open sides. It had an auction block and room for maybe 30 men. And from 1711 to 1762, it trafficked thousands of slaves, men and women, shiploads of children, even captured Indians.
That's something very important to, you know, to know.
Go to the corner now and you'll see a stop sign, some garbage cans, maybe a UPS guy. Nothing at all that says, hey, history. But Africans who passed through the slave market helped build the wealth of some very famous companies, companies that are still around. Aetna, New York Life, J.P. Morgan Chase. Various units of these and other financial companies either bankrolled southern plantations or insured slaves as property, or both.
Folks need to fess up and understand the long black roots that New York has.
That's Thomas J. Davis. He's a professor at Arizona State University, and he writes about slavery in the North. He says slavery was woven into the life of New York from day one.
It's not a feel-good story. It's not a story that people have wanted to hear over time.
Around Wall Street, the historical markers talk about Alexander Hamilton and its Art Deco design, but make no mention of a slave market. The new marker will change that. It'll be the city's first acknowledgement on a freestanding sign that anyone can read that in the 1700s, New York had an official location for buying, selling, and renting human beings. Until now, the story of that market had all but vanished, except among a small group of historians who've been trying to revive it.
My name is Christopher Paul Moore, senior researcher for the Schomburg Center for Research in Black Culture.
Moore says the first cargo of 11 Africans comes by ship in 1626, in the earliest days of New Amsterdam.
Slavery arrives at the same time as the free Europeans do.
By the year 1700, New York has 5,000 people. At least 750 of them are slaves.
They start to see more and more Africans arriving here.
Many are sold and taken elsewhere, but some stay and do the heavy work of creating Lower Manhattan, building the port,
widening the Native American trails and creating roads like Broadway.
African men also farm and clear land. They build houses and bridges and docks. African women take care of children and do household chores. In 1700, 40% of families in New York City own at least one slave. And it's also a common thing to send slaves into the street to hire themselves out.
Slave owners made additional profits by short-term and even long-term rental of their enslaved property.
But the city fathers are hearing complaints from their fellow white colonials about all the African laborers walking around and mingling with each other, which some fear could lead to a slave rebellion. So the Common Council, an early version of our city council, brings order to the business.
In 1711, a wooden pier is set up at the corner of Wall Street and the East River, and that's the slave market. That becomes the acknowledged New York City market.
An illustration from an old Harper's magazine shows the market in action. An African man stands stripped to the waist as white men bid to buy him. Professor Thomas J. Davis says that African has probably just stepped off a boat and is overwhelmed by the commotion.
the cacophony of an early trade town. You know, the carts are going by, people are hammering. The market is going to be conducted largely by outcry.
A crowd has gathered at the market because an agent of the ship has been walking the streets, calling out a description of his goods.
20 Nagars, fresh from Angola, from Guinea, from the West Indies.
You might say,
4 likely wenches, 15 to 20. Cabin boys available.
Slaves are considered merchandise, so buyers can just inspect them.
Some of the male slaves are being asked to flex in various ways to show how sturdy they are. The females are being touched in private places. So it's an ugly experience.
We don't like to think that the wealth of our city is built on slavery.
Professor Alan Singer of Hofstra University leads walking tours of Wall Street and advises schools about teaching the history of slavery.
It's not just that Africans built the infrastructure of the city, but New York City was a major stop on the transport of sugar and cotton. So New York bankers and New York merchants are making money on the transport and the sale of slave-produced commodities.
Other New Yorkers turn those commodities into products, like sugar for tea.
Right across the East River is the old Domino sugar plant. That's where the sugar cane and the molasses produced by enslaved Africans in the Caribbean was refined.
By the 1800s, New York City is as important as Charleston, South Carolina, to the triangular trade, which sends slaves and the goods they produce in a constant flow around the Atlantic Ocean, from England to Africa to North America.
The owner of that Domino plant at the time was a man by the name of William Havemeyer. He became the mayor of New York City.
The next mayor is Fernando Wood, who's in office during the buildup to the Civil War. Wood believes emancipation will be bad for business, so he and his allies support avoiding war with the South.
They want Lincoln to compromise because New York City bankers and merchants are so tied in with slavery, cotton, and sugar.
Wood even proposes that New York City secede from the Union.
What's interesting is that this was common knowledge to an educated New Yorker in 1890, but today it's been totally erased from our history.
The city's deep ties to the slave trade only end when slavery is abolished after the Civil War. By then, the Wall Street slave market is long gone, removed for the same reason that a lot of stuff gets torn down in New York. It was blocking a nice view of the river and bringing down real estate values. For WNYC, I'm Jim O'Grady.
The city plans to install the Wall Street marker on June 19th, also known as Juneteenth, a day commemorating the end of slavery in the United States. Alana Harper contributed reporting to this story.